Wednesday, June 24th, 2026. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope your week is going well. You are halfway to another weekend, and I hope that you, your family, your friends are all staying strong and you're all staying healthy right now. And of course, the big news this morning is that the 2026 NBA draft took place last night in Brooklyn. The Washington Wizards selected BYU swing player AJ DiBonsa with the top pick. That poor kid will now go to our nation's capital and, well, lose more games in October than he did all last season with the Cougars. The Utah Jazz took Kansas flake Darren Peterson with the number two pick, bypassing, I might add, young big man Cameron Boozer. Now, that might not sound like a big deal, but actually it is. For one, Darren Peterson is about as reliable as, well, Kansas in the tournament facing a team that starts with the letter B. And two, Cameron Boozer's father, Carlos, works in the front office in Utah. Carlos, you couldn't convince your franchise to draft your own kid? You know, I actually think Cameron Boozer has a ton of potential. And I think he might be the least likely player to be a bust. I don't know if he's going to be an all-star, but I don't think he'll be a bust. That, I feel like, is going to be an awkward Thanksgiving dinner. Hey, so how are you guys doing? We're doing good. Yeah, we're doing good too. Thanks for not drafting me, Dad. Yeah, that should be fun. Hey, the Michigan Wolverines were big winners last night. They had three players selected in the first 12 picks. Yeah, pretty impressive stuff. But it wasn't all good news for the Wolverines. More on that a little bit later. One brief critique of the NBA draft. One, ESPN is terrible at doing drafts. They are so delayed. They are so late with everything they do. I know five picks ahead of what's happening before they tell us. And then with all the trades that go on in the NBA draft, they're so far behind that we don't even know who's going where. You have the kid walking up wearing the wrong hat for the wrong team. He's already been traded. He's going somewhere else. ESPN doesn't care. They just run him up there. Also, can we not have every single pick interviewed with their parents? I know that's probably not nice to say, but that is absolutely brutal. These poor parents, they're already emotional. And you can tell they're not used to having that microphone right in their face. It is like nails on a chalkboard. ESPN, you've got to do a better job with your draft. Staying in the NBA, we have seen a few other moves. And of course, the biggest one is that the Milwaukee Bucks are trading franchise icon Giannis Antetokounmpo, along with Bobby Portis, to the Miami Heat for a bunch of players that aren't really all that great. The Heat will be sending Milwaukee unprotected first rounders in 2031 and 2033, along with a 13, a pick swap, and a second rounder, whatever. Heat president Pat Riley now has made his long anticipated new acquisition as he now brings Antetokounmpo to Miami, where we've already seen Pat Riley pick up guys like LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal, Chris Bosh, Alonzo Mourning, Jimmy Butler, to just name a few. And now Riley will be pairing the two-time NBA MVP and 2021 Finals MVP with big man Bam Adebayo, and they are hoping to be a contender in the East. Now, do I look at this team in Miami as a true contender in the East? Honestly, no. But Riley will now have Giannis to man his training room. And I mean, Giannis can, I don't know, talk to people as they come in to get treatment, which is nice, really, when you think about it. It's always nice to have a friendly face in the training room. But let's be honest, Giannis hasn't played all that much. What's he playing? 50, 60 games a year these days? He hasn't been at that NBA Finals kind of level in like 5 years. I don't expect that to change. Sure, he'll play a few more games this next year. magically he'll be a little bit better. But I don't see this team as a contender. One other move that is interesting, the Minnesota Timberwolves sent three-time All-Star forward Julius Randle to the Brooklyn Nets for Nick Claxton, which I'm not sure Minnesota's getting a good deal there. And then one other move, the Washington Wizards are agreeing to a four-year deal worth approximately $212 million with free agent guard Trae Young.
It is embarrassing!
Yeah. So if you've been wondering, why are the Washington Wizards just chronically terrible? It's moves like this, mostly. Giving $200 million to a guy like Trae Young, who just is incapable of winning at this level. Hey, that's why the Wizards are terrible. Today on The Dose, we have got a number of stories to touch on this week. We've got things coming out in the World Cup. We've got things coming out in the world of college sports. We've got things coming out in the world of the NBA and even the NHL. So we've got a number of things to discuss this week on The Dose. Plus, we will have a Daily Dose top five for you. You're not going to want to miss that. Stick around for that. Staying in the NBA, the New York Knicks have won their first NBA championship in over 50 years. And this past week, the New York Knicks held their championship parade. But I thought it was interesting, because point guard Jalen Brunson publicly ignored his critics throughout the Knicks' historic run. He instead focused on delivering that title to New York. But at the championship parade, Jalen Brunson had a few things to say. Here is a quote from Jalen. "There's a lot of people that have had a lot of negative stuff to say," Brunson said during the celebration at New York City Hall. "There's a lot of people who have a lot of opinions, but when you prove them wrong, you really don't have to say blank to them. They don't deserve it." Like, there were a number of critics that did talk badly, not only about the Knicks, but about Brunson specifically. And Brunson wanted to come out and say some things. He went on to say, "New York, we really did it. Somehow, some way, I knew we were going to find a way to get this done." Moments later, New York Mayor Zohran Mamdani presented keys to the city to the Knicks players, coaches, owners, and staff. Wearing a team jersey under his suit jacket, Mamdani said he and other fans waited because they knew deep down in our sick, suffering hearts, the Knicks would someday win. Hey, I said this last week. Congrats to the Knicks. Congrats to their long-suffering fans. Also, shut up. I don't want to hear about you having doubters. There's a reason the New York Knicks had doubters. It's because you sucked for generation after generation after generation. Stop acting like people don't have the right to doubt you. The New York Knicks have a tradition of failing. When you continue to fail over and over and over again, people are going to say, yeah, they're going to fail again this year. Hey, if like the Detroit Lions or Buffalo Bills win a Super Bowl and then they complain about people doubting them, they're going to sound like idiots. Much like the Knicks sound right now. They sound like idiots. Stop your whining. Go take your flowers and shut up. I'm already annoyed with the Knicks now. Going back a little bit to the NBA. I know we talked some NBA to open the show. But we had a big move take place in the NBA that concerns college sports. Because Michigan head basketball coach Dusty May is finalizing a deal to take the Dallas Mavericks head coaching job. That is a huge move that changes both college and NBA landscapes. Now, May is 49. And don't forget, he led Michigan to the national championship this past year, 2026. He will now coach a franchise that has Cooper Flagg as a key player because the Mavericks fired Jason Kidd last year. Now, May led Michigan to a 64-13 record over 2 years in Ann Arbor. In his previous job, you might remember, he was down at Florida Atlantic, and he took the Owls to back-to-back tournaments, including in 2023, leading them to the Final Four. But May said he had ruled out all other jobs this offseason, but that the NBA has always been intriguing. So Dusty May is now the first college head coach to take an NBA job since former Michigan coach John Beilein took the Cleveland Cavaliers job back in 2019. That, for the record, did not go that well. This move puts May in charge of the Mavericks' next generation, which they're building around Cooper Flagg, the NBA's Rookie of the Year this past year. However, the move puts Michigan in a weird situation. They're coming off that dominant run. They're coming off of winning it all. And now they're putting in an interim head coach and trying to figure out exactly what to do. Michigan says they're working toward hiring current assistant head coach Mike Boynton Jr. as that interim head coach. Boynton, of course, had a little bit of coaching experience from Oklahoma State. Now, looking at this move, we know Dusty May's not a dumb guy. He realizes that the NBA is a league where players don't have to listen to their coach in any capacity. And we know he's going to get paid well. No question about that. But here is the trend that we just keep seeing, especially in college basketball. It's happening in football too, but especially in college basketball. It's no fun anymore. It's no good anymore. That is how bad the college game is to coach right now. Coaches are recruiting 365 days of the year, and getting a top recruit literally means nothing. You have him for what? A couple weeks maybe? And then he's looking to transfer? Guys would rather go to the NBA and just get tuned out, not listened to, and just put up with it than to have guys at the college game. Because in the college level, you got to deal with parents. You got to deal with fundraising. You got to deal with recruiting every single day. It is no coincidence that the best college basketball coaches are all getting out of that game as quickly as possible. Staying in the college game, let's switch over to some college football, because we have some news in the world of college football that I am finding very, very interesting. We talked about it here a couple weeks ago on The Dose, about Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby looking to become eligible again, despite the fact that he was found guilty of gambling on his own sports team. Well, the Big 12 presidents and chancellors did not want to support Brendan Sorsby either. They pulled the plug on Sorsby coming back to Texas Tech. The Big 12 filed a federal lawsuit this past Monday in the Northern District of Texas, seeking both a declaratory judgment and injunctive relief to allow the league the authority to use its bylaws to potentially punish Sorsby. But remember, Sorsby admitted he broke NCAA rules by betting thousands of times, including 40 times on his own team while he was on the team's roster. He has now withdrawn his lawsuit against the NCAA and has applied for the NFL supplemental draft. The NFL hasn't had a supplemental draft since 2023, and no one has been selected in a supplemental draft since 2019. The last quarterback to enter a supplemental draft, you might remember, was Terrell Pryor, who was a third-round bid back in 2011 for the, at the time, Oakland Raiders. Well, now the Big 12 has said Sorsby can't come back and play, despite what a judge said. And I know this was spun by the Sorsby camp as, hey, come on, guys. This poor young lad was just trying to stay connected to his team. We all know that's BS. Here's the problem. This idiot kid just seems to not have a brain in his head. Hey, gamble all you want. Just don't bet on college football and on your own team specifically. The fact that Brendan Sorsby was too stupid to abide by following that one simple rule tells me he's not really suited to be an NFL quarterback in any capacity. So I fully expected him to be selected in a supplemental draft by the Cleveland Browns as soon as possible. However, it turns out yesterday, quarterback Brendan Sorsby is not going to be playing in the NFL this coming year because the league has announced they will not hold a supplemental draft. Interesting. The NFL's decision came down to its right to decide whether or not to hold a draft per the collective bargaining agreement, as league officials said they believed it would ultimately become a distraction to teams as they begin training camps. Here's what an NFL source said. Sorsby's application carries with it a lot of issues, core of the game integrity issues. Hey, I said this a long time ago, literally a few months ago, that it isn't a matter of Sorsby getting to go back to Texas Tech. We know you can go get some podunk dumb judge to let him go back to Texas Tech, even though the Big 12 finally said, hey, we're getting into some weird territory. That isn't the issue. The issue is this kid has demonstrated he's too stupid to be an NFL quarterback, and NFL teams aren't going to want to touch him. He is absolute poison, despite the fact that Sorsby's attorney Jeffrey Kessler says the NFL's decision to not hold a supplemental draft is a violation of the CBA and the law, and he's going to pursue that immediately with the NFL Players Association. Honestly, Sorsby's lawyer, he needs to find a new client. This isn't going well. One last story in the world of college sports, and I think it's important to talk about, a sweeping federal bill to reshape college sports is headed to the Senate, marking the first time in a number of years that the full U.S. Senate will have the opportunity to vote on a proposed solution facing some of the college sports industry. The bill is called the Protect College Sports Act, and it has been spearheaded by Senators Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell. Keep one thing in mind. Cruz is a Republican. Cantwell is a Democrat. Kind of interesting. But it would provide the NCAA with an antitrust exemption so that it can enforce a few rules.
Are you kidding me?
I know. Magical to think about. Here is what the bill would institute. Standardized transfer rules, generally permitting student athletes to transfer once without a penalty, while requiring a one-year loss of eligibility for a second transfer, with the exception of your coach leaving. Huh, that sounds like something we've wanted for a long time. It proposes a limited antitrust exemption, allowing major Division I conferences and institutions to collectively negotiate television and broadcast rights. Again, so far so good. That is intended to boost and protect revenue streams for non-revenue and less profitable sports. That's what we want to do, right? We know there are kids that get to go to college for the sole reason of playing a sport that might not make profit, but we don't want these kids to lose these scholarships, do we? I don't think so. The bill also bars major colleges from cutting women's and Olympic sports programs and enforces robust medical coverage and safety standards. Look, I realize that this country is in a constant state of political split right now. I understand. If one side says day, the other side says night. If one side says black, the other side says white. But doesn't this bill make sense for schools and conferences and athletes and fans? Put your petty crap politics aside and get this through. Because what is happening right now in the world of college sports is not sustainable. And it is going to end up ruining a ton of college sports and destroying a ton of opportunities for kids to get educations. They're never going to get that chance again. They need to pass this bill. I don't want to hear about the Big 12 and the Big 10 and the SEC balking at it. They need to pass it. The only reason they won't pass it is, one, they're being political, and two, they don't want to give up their own power. That doesn't make it right. Hey, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com each and every week to check out the new things we have going over there. We have links to articles. We have links to videos. We have links to the podcast, and we have links to Daily Dose gear. If you need a t-shirt, a hoodie, a sweatshirt, a baseball cap, make sure you stop by DailyDoseSports.com and check out what we have going on over there. Plus, don't forget, you can email the podcast anytime. If you've got a question, a comment, a concern, an insult, yeah, you can send it to DailyDoseSports@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Let's move over to that 2026 World Cup tournament. Hey, we've seen some history be made in that World Cup. As Lionel Messi became the highest goal scorer in World Cup history, that took place on Monday. He moved up to 18 points scored with a double in Argentina's match against Austria. That breaks a tie with Germany legend Miroslav Klose. Messi entered the day with 16 goals following a hat trick in Argentina's opener. He actually missed a penalty kick early on against Austria. We thought he was going to get the record then. Turned out he had to wait. But Messi ended up getting a score in the 38th minute, and then he added a late second score in the 2-0 win that took place down in Dallas. That secures Argentina's place in the knockout rounds. But hey, Lionel Messi has now scored in 6 consecutive World Cup games since 2022, and his 18th goal also moves him clear of women's World Cup goal scorer Marta, who has 17. Messi owns the record in both. He had tied the record with that hat trick last week, and now he has broke it. That hat trick, by the way, stands as the 11th of Messi's international career, but that was his first at a World Cup. And hey, we could argue about the GOAT if we want. I know there's a number of names out there. We know Ronaldo's out there. We know Pelé's out there. We know a number of guys are out there, but Messi is kind of making a compelling case at this point. Meanwhile, individual accolades aside, just looking at this tournament, hey, Argentina is the defending champ, and they look like they're not going to go away quietly. They might still make some noise. France looks like the top contender to take Argentina out. Spain and England have both been impressive. Portugal got going a little bit yesterday. Germany has looked good at times. The Netherlands have been impressive. And then we're actually getting a few surprise teams. Teams like Cape Verde, who have been. Egypt, and yes, our United States. The USA team looks completely different than it has ever looked in the past. The World Cup tournament is just going to be pure drama the further we go into it. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Like I said at the top of the show, the Washington Wizards used the number one pick in last night's 2026 NBA draft to select BYU superstar AJ DeBonta. Hey, I like DeBonta. Well, I like him as a friend. I don't love him. We'll see if he's able to turn that garbage franchise around. But the selection of AJ DeBonta kind of got me thinking. Because BYU isn't exactly like a blue blood kind of program. Sure, they've produced a few players. I mean, guys like Danny Ainge and Sean Bradley. And of course, the Jimmer Fredette. But do players taken at number one from non-blue blood programs actually make it? Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is counting down the last five times that a player was selected number one from a non-Power 5 school. And no, I'm not counting guys that jump straight from high school without attending college. We're looking at programs that are not Power 5 type programs or traditional basketball blue blood programs. Let's go ahead and jump in. We started for number five. And we actually are going to have one program that makes our list twice. But as great as this program has been at times, they are definitely not a blue blood kind of program. We go back to the year 2013. The Louisville Cardinals won the NCAA tournament that year, but there was really not like a clear-cut player to be the top pick. Indiana's Victor Oladipo looked pretty good. And then there were a few foreign players. Guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo from Greece, or Steven Adams from New Zealand, or even Germany's Dennis Schroeder. But the Cleveland Cavaliers decided that they would instead take UNLV big man Anthony Bennett with the number one pick. Bennett wasn't even the best player on his own team. He had missed a lot of time due to injury, but I mean, it is Cleveland, right? So they take Bennett, and he immediately showed he didn't belong. In fact, he didn't even score a basket until his fifth game. He was traded away after just one season. He bounced around the league a little bit. He ended up playing in Canada. He actually played a grand total of 151 games in the NBA. He started only four, and he averaged just 4 points a game. He was out of the league completely by 2017. Hey, the Cleveland Cavaliers took a chance on a non-blue blood program kid. And it definitely did not pay off. Anthony Bennett from UNLV comes in today at number five. We jump to number four. And we go to a program that has been big time at times. But I mean, the Memphis Tigers are hardly a blue blood program. But in 2008, head coach John Calipari, hey, he had those Tigers rolling. They had Chris Douglas Roberts and they had Derrick Rose. And if they could have just made free throws, they would have won a title. But there was no question that Derrick Rose was worthy of a top pick. The Chicago Bulls used their top pick in 2008 on the explosive guard, and it paid off. Derrick Rose was the rookie of the year. He was a three-time All-Star and was the 2011 league's most valuable player. You know, Rose could get into the paint anytime he wanted. He was just so explosive, and he was really adept. at finishing around the basket. Unfortunately, his frenetic style of play lended itself to a number of injuries. And while Derrick Rose would end up playing 15 seasons in the league, his body would end up being so broken down that he would end up being relegated to backup roles. But make no mistake, Derrick Rose was one of the best non-blue blood program players ever. And he comes in today on our list at number 4. We jump to our number 3 entry on our list. And this one is actually kind of unfair because we're talking about the Los Angeles Clippers. And anytime that franchise is involved, you kind of got to take things with a grain of salt. In 1998, the Clippers had the number 1 pick in the draft. Okay, cool. That's the good news. You've got players like North Carolina's Vince Carter and Antoine Jameson. You had Germany's Dirk Nowitzki. You had Kansas with Paul Pierce. You even had Arizona with Mike Bibby coming out. So how in the world could you screw this up? But again, we are talking about the Clippers. So they decided they were smarter than everyone else. And instead, they decided to take University of Pacific 7-footer big man Michael Olowokandi.
Who?
Olowokandi was really, really average. He averaged less than 10 points a game for the Clippers. He would eventually move on to Minnesota. He would eventually move on to Boston. But he never averaged more than 12 points per game. He lasted 9 seasons in the league. But meanwhile, some of those other guys that went after him, they went on to be generational stars. But again, it is the Clippers. And Michael Olowokandi comes in today at number 3. We reached number 2. On our list of non-blue blood program players that were drafted number 1 overall, and for the second time today, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas lands on our list, but this time it was way more deserving. In 1991, the Charlotte Hornets had the top pick in the draft, and they were looking for a cornerstone for that young expansion franchise. Enter Las Vegas, do everything forward, Larry Johnson. Hey, Johnson had been a monster in Vegas. He led the Runnin' Rebels to the national title in 1990. Johnson could shoot. He was strong inside. He was tough as nails. He would rebound, and he knew how to win. Larry Johnson would play 5 highly productive seasons in Charlotte, and then he would eventually move on to New York and add another 5 quality seasons with the Knicks. Hey, Grandmama was the Rookie of the Year in 91. He was a 2-time All-Star. He was named to the All-NBA team in 93. Larry Johnson was legit despite being from a program that you wouldn't necessarily think of as a blue blood program. I mean, UNLV was what, in the Big West or whatever? But Larry Johnson comes in today on our list at number 2. So he reached the number 1 guy that was selected number 1 overall from a school that isn't necessarily a blue blood program. And not only was this guy not just like a member of the Big West, like Larry Johnson, or Conference USA, like Memphis. No, this guy was playing in the Colonial League for a service academy. Oh, but David Robinson was just different when he was playing at the Naval Academy. Robinson averaged 28 points, 12 rebounds, and nearly 5 blocks a game as a senior. When the San Antonio Spurs locked up the number 1 pick in the 1987 draft, there were a number of good players out there. Scottie Pippen, Reggie Miller. There were some good players, and yet there was no doubt about who they were picking. I mean, the Admiral was a 7-footer that could run like a guard and just refused to be outworked by anyone, ever. He was exactly the kind of player that you would want to build a franchise around, and the Spurs would take him. And Robinson would go on to a Hall of Fame career. He was a 10-time All-Star, and he would win 2 titles. Hey, the Washington Wizards may have got a superstar last night with A.J. DeBonta out of BYU. We have seen non-blue blood programs produce some amazing players. Then again, we've also seen the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Los Angeles Clippers screw this up. This is the Wizards. So, Good luck, AJ. You're going to need it. Hey, next week on the Dose, we're going to have something a little bit different for you. Remember, it's going to be a holiday week, so we're going to have something extra special for you. So be sure you tune into the Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Hats to thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.